Salvation Sunday, so they wanted me to preach a salvation message, and they didn't get that to me until now. And of course, I don't have time to read it before I do it. So I prepared a message that will go along with that. And since I used to teach this in the seminary, I think I can do it. Maybe. Maybe I can do it. Anyway, turn your Bibles to Romans 3:23. And write this down if you have paper or on the back of that page or whatever, if you've got room. Get you a pencil and write these little scripture verses down. And I'll tell you, I'll challenge you to memorize them. Okay? I pray that you can memorize these, because that's what I'm going to go to right now. I'm not even going to turn to them. I'm going to try to give them to you by memory. All right? I have to give a good example for you, though. All right. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned. That's real plain, isn't it? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And now Romans 6:23. For all have sinned. Every one of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Do you know what the word glory means? And turn Romans 6:23 if you're in the same book. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What does that mean? If we are going to go to heaven, we have to be as glorious as God. That's an absolute necessity. Did you know that? We have to be as glorious as God, a partaker of the same nature that He has to go to heaven. That's an absolute necessity. All right? I'll write some of these verses down. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned. The word sin is hamartia. Okay? That's how you spell it in Greek. Hamartia. H-A-M-A-R-T-I-A. Hamartia. That's what you bring it over into English. This means to miss the target. Okay, here's a target way over here. Here's a guy over here 400 miles away. Alright, now this is a 400 miles away. And he picks up a small stone about big enough to put in your hand. And this fellow right over here has, we're going to put a frowny face on him, okay? Because if he doesn't do this, he's going to die. He's 400 miles away. He can't see the target, by the way, 400 miles away. Here it is. He's got this rock. Now, by absolute necessity, he's going to die if he doesn't hit this bullseye right here, 400 miles away. You think he can do it? That's what Romans 3:23 says. For all have sinned, all have missed the mark, and fallen short of the glory of God. His rock fell much short. How far can you throw a rock? Not very far. 100 yards maybe? 150 yards? That's 400 miles? How about you, brother? You're an athlete. You're a real athlete. How far can you throw a rock?
I can go pretty far, but not 400 miles.
All right, I'll tell you what I can do. I can make things. I can build a cannon. I can build a cannon. I know how to do that. I can make this thing shoot. But do you think I can shoot that rock 400 miles? God could. He can take that rock and sleep 400 miles and hit her dead center. That's absolutely, that's nothing for God. But if I had a cannon with a 100-foot barrel on it, I couldn't shoot a rock and hit it 400 miles and put it over here. But that's what's a necessity. That's an absolute necessity of not dying and going to hell. Eternal death. Okay? Romans 6:23. What does that one say? For the wages of sin is death. For the wages of sin. Wages. Most of you here have jobs, and for your job you get wages. Okay? You get wages.
I would write the wrong Bible here.
That's English. For the wages of sin is death. What is a wage?
What you earn.
It is a. It's what you get for a pro. It's a product of employment, isn't it? You work and you produce wages to take care of your home and your life. Okay? It's a product of employment. For the product of employment of sin is death. Alright? For the product of employment of sin is death. Here's the same word, harmartios. And then it says thanatos. 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 That means separation. For the wages of sin is total separation away from God. Since you couldn't throw the rock 400 miles and hit the bullseye, you're dead. You're dead. You're a dead duck. But what does the rest of that verse say? For the wages of sin is death.
But the free gift of God
is life eternal. And where is that life eternal?
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, the Lord of us. Alright? Christ Jesus our Lord. For the wages of sin is death. Okay? That's what we deserve.
The death is separation.
Separation. Thanatos. That's spiritual death. They are cut off from God forever. You can't go to heaven. For the wages, the just rewards of sin is total eternal separation from God. You can't go to heaven. Okay? You can't go to heaven. For the wages of sin is death. Separation from God forever. Hell is separate from God. Hell isn't allowed in heaven. That's separate. That's far away. As far away as it can be. Way down. Heaven's up, it's way down. Hell's way off. Okay? But the free gift of God, the word, but the free gift, charisma, the free gift of God, now who does it belong to? In Greek, it says, to theou, the free gift belonging to God. Now, God can give it to whoever he wants to. Since the guy couldn't throw the rock 400 miles, if anybody's going to get to heaven, guess how they're going to get to heaven? By grace. Because God likes you. That's why you're going to get to heaven. Simple as that. I can't put it in any better terms. God likes you. He loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him, what? Might not perish, but might have eternal life. Okay? There's a volition there too. God calls all men. Some come, some don't. Simple as that. We're going to look at a lot of this today. We got this poor fella still kind of throwing this rock 400 miles and hit the bullseye. It's not going to happen. There's an illustration of that in the Bible. You know, you think this is pretty extreme? Wait till we get over here in the sermon just a little bit further. And we're going to see how not extreme this is. All right? Romans 8 and verse 28. This is some beautiful things. And this verse has absolutely comforted more people in terrible trials in life than anything else, any other verse in the Bible, I guess. It said, for we have known that the ones loving God, God is able to make all things work for the good, work together for their good. Okay? It says in King James, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Okay? I'm going to translate that to you from Greek. For we absolutely know that the ones that God loves, and the ones that love God, all things God is able to make work together for the good of them. You mean to tell me if I got my foot chopped off, that it would be for my good? God can make it for your good. I'm going to tell you just a little bit how that happened in my life. I was a real strong man one time. You remember when I was pretty strong 20 years ago? I could work 10 men in the ground. I'm not kidding you. I remember one time, this guy came and went woodcutting with me. And he was worked out at Vic Tanny, or at Joseph's gym. He was really a tough guy, you know. He went up there and worked one day with me. I cut 7.5 cords of wood that day. And this was on Saturday. He didn't come to church the next day. He didn't come to church Wednesday. He went up there and he was staying with me, or trying to stay with me, and I'm just going around doing my normal stuff that I do. And cutting wood, we were cutting a lot of wood, and then we called home about 4 or 5 cords of wood, I think, we hauled home that day. We had some more left up there. But since I had help, we'd cut a little more wood. And when I was young, 15, 16 years old, I used to cut 5 cords of wood a day. How many of you know what a cord of wood is? That's a lot of wood. That's a lot of wood. Okay? Anyway, we went up there and we cut 7.5 cords of wood that day. We brought 4 home and another 2 cords, that's 6 wood, 6 cords. I guess we had about 1.5 cords left in the woods. I can't remember that guy's name. And he went home, and he stayed in bed for a week. He couldn't get out of bed. And he told me before, he says, I thought I was in good shape until I went with you. He said, I like to die trying to stay with you. I couldn't stay with you. I couldn't even stay with you at all. But I was hurt then. Y'all seen me 10 years before that. But you know, I went out in the oil fields one time. I was 6'2", I weighed 240 pounds. I went out there, I could lift up 1,000 pounds easy. It was nothing. And I was strong when you knew me 20 years ago. But I went out there and we had to move a bunch of stuff on a rig that day. And we moved the rig in the mud and the wind and the rain out there. They couldn't get a crane in there to move all the stuff. So we had to move and put on load up all the stuff on the catwalks and everything. And I was carrying a long piece of pipe, which I used to carry all the time. It was about close to 60 feet long, I think. 50 feet, something like about 50 foot. And it was a 5.5-inch drill pipe. And I picked it up, usually in the middle, and I'd take the thing, walk over there with it, and set it on top of this catwalk. It was along the catwalk. The catwalk was about 60 feet. Anyway, and these were the pipe racks out there. Except they had 2 guys, one on each side, helping me this thing. And when we got up there, both of those guys slipped at the same time and fell on the thing. While I was carrying it, I just went like this and grabbed it all and picked it on up and put it over on the deal. Except my back just snapped, like they settled down like somebody shot off a gun. And I kept falling down that day. I'd get out there and my back just felt like it was cutting all the way through me, just the pain was. But I kept working because I was stupid. I was young and stupid. Anyway, I kept working, and I'd be walking out across there, and my feet would just quit. And I couldn't feel my legs. And I worked. When I got home, I crawled out of my car. I was in a lot of pain. Boy, I felt like I was just cut half in two. And for almost 10 years, for the first 5 years, I was almost paralyzed. I went from that morning, 6'2", weighed 240 pounds, absolutely a working machine, to nothing the next day. I was nothing. I was crippled. That's the way I was. It took me 10 years to get back to where I was when you saw me, which wasn't much compared to what I was before. I couldn't do anything. I could just barely crawl around a lot of days. And so for the first 5 years, I did nothing but study. I had all this energy and I couldn't stand it. And so I turned my energies into studying the Word of God. Was that good for me to do that? Was that good, that accident out there, was that good for me?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was good for me. And all the time since then, everything that's bad that's happened to me taught me something somewhere. I've been through some hard times in my life, real hard times. But every one of these lessons has taught me something. Is God able to make all of them things work for your good? I just kind of figure out what this last one's going to do. This last thing. Somehow. Romans 8:28. That God is able to make all of these things work for the good of them that are the called according to His purpose. They are called. When God calls you, He wants you to be saved. And when God saves you, He wants you to serve Him. Because you're no longer yours. Alright? Because this gift that He gives you is worth more than you could ever work for, ever in this world. Go to Ephesians 2 and verse 8. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. Ephesians 2 and verse 8 says, for in grace ye are having been saved. That's what it says in the original languages. For in grace you are having been saved through faith. For in grace you are having been saved through faith. Through faith. By the agency of faith. Where does the faith come from? Huh? Yet the faith comes from God. You can't do anything. You've got a rock here trying to sling it 400 miles. You can't do that. You never will be able to do that. Ever. Brother, you saved?
Yeah.
Amen. Now, before you were saved, could you throw a rock 400 miles? All right, since you've been saved, can you throw a rock 400 miles? No. Well, that's normal. When I was by prime of my life, I couldn't throw a rock 400 miles. There was no way. I'd get 150 yards or something. I can't even throw one now. My shoulder's so bad, I can't even throw anything overhand. If I'm going to throw something, I've got to throw it underhand. My shoulders are gone. My wife lay in bed the other day, and my arms were laying out like this, and she grabbed my arm and pulled it out. Ah! It broke my shoulder. It doesn't go anymore. I'm saved now. I'm not any better shape than I was before. Can't do anything more than I would before. For in grace you are having been saved through faith, by the agency of faith. The faith doesn't come from you. For in grace you are having been saved through faith, and that not out of you, yourself. Not of works. Not as a product of employment. Alright? For the wages of sin is death. The only thing you can do in working your body is sinful things. Spiritual things save you. God does that. For in grace you haven't been saved through faith, that not out of you. It is a gift of God. This charismatos. This gift of God. Not of works, lest any man, not of wages, lest any man should boast. Is there anything that, after you're saved, there's anything you can do to get you to heaven? Or keep you on the road? Because that's not the subject, is it? You can serve God, and you can glorify God with your life afterward, but you can't get yourself to heaven by anything you do. Never. Alright? Now, turn to Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians, the first chapter.
Mm-hmm.
In my Bible?
Yeah, I
can't
find it.
Oh. Well, let me look it over here. I'll tell you. I'm not there. It's in the New Testament. I'll find it for you in just a minute. It's on page 295 okay. In the New Testament, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have a Bible like mine, I can tell you what page it's on.
We got the same Bible, so we know.
All right. And Paul's talking to the church here. It's beautiful in Greek. This is a beautiful verse. I'm going to read it to you in Greek. You can just hear it in Greek. Some of you take my Greek class. Well, I guess all of you do. Paulos apostles, Christou Isou, dia thelamatos, theou, tois, hagios, tois, usen en aphesou, kai pistiois, en Christou Isou, karis, hemen, kai, ireni, apu, tu, theopatros, hemon, kai, kirio, esus, Christou, eulogatos, hotheos, kai, pater, tu, kirio, hemon, esus, Christou, ho eulogesos, hemos en passe eulogia, pneumatica, en tois, epo uranois, en Christou. That's the first part of it, okay? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the spiritual activating force of God, to the holy ones. By the way, this is a circular letter, not only in Ephesus, but even here in Bakersfield. To the faithful ones in Christ Jesus, grace to you, free gift to you, peace from God, the Father of us, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the one saying all, this is the one saying good things, and the Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the one having blessed us in every way, in every blessing spiritual, in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus. And then he says, just as here, kathos, just as exilazoto, just as he picked us out in him before the laying of the foundation, before he ever created anything in the whole world system. For us to be holy and unspotted, down in the presence of him in love. Then it says here that he predestined us, having predestinated us. Actually what it says is having first of all corralled us. Let's talk about eternity past now. This is eternity past. That page doesn't want to stay on that thing. In eternity past, before he ever did anything, God knew you. And he built a corral there because of his foreknowledge. God built a corral. This is a cowboy term here, a shepherding term. He built a corral and gathered you up in that corral. You're all gathered up. Everybody that would ever be saved, that would ever will, ever would be saved throughout all time, all the way from Adam to the end of time. And he corralled you. This word means to take and fence in. That's what it means, fence in. We got our word horizon from it. Horizon is a line for the light. As far as you can see, where you can see the light, where the light ends, okay? That's the corral. They're roped off. They're corralled off, fenced in. He fenced us in. Now, what do you do when you gather up cows? Cowboys? Cowgirls? What do you do when you gather up cows out on the range? How many ever watched the movie Cowboys with John Wayne? What do they do with those cows when they finally gather them up? You brand them. That's in this term also. God corralled us and branded us. It talks about in the book of Revelation, it talks about sealing. You're sealed. You're branded. You were branded in eternity past. Before God ever created an angel or anything, you were branded and corralled. Your name was spoken by God. He knew you. I had one old teacher a long time ago. I thought a lot of him. E.A. Sharper. I don't know if you remember him or not. He died the same just within a few days of Brother Hubbard when he died. Brother Sharper said, he talked about election one time. There was a seminar where he talked about election. Just like I'm talking about election, he talked about election. He said, some of you might call me a hard shell Baptist. He said, that's all right. I'd rather be a hard shell than have no shell at all. I'll never forget what he said. But he said, according to you, I'm a hard shell, but I'm not. I just believe in what the Bible says about this right here. That's what it says. You're not going to get around it. Because that's what the Bible says. Because he knew what you would do in time and space. God did this before. Now, if God isn't omniscient, what does that mean? If he doesn't know everything, he's not God. As simple as that. So in eternity past, he knew you were going to be saved. So he wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life from eternity past. Okay? Your name was written down there. You were branded. You were sealed. You were numbered. Just like it talks about in the book of Revelation. God is going to seal 144,000 of nationally Israel, nationals, Jews. Okay, these are Jews. These are not saved people or whatever, Gentiles. These are real Jews. He's going to seal 144,000, and they're going to have a seal of God on him. I got news for them. He sealed them back here. In this time, in space and time, he was sealed. In space and time, you're all saved. But back here, you were branded. You were marked off, and you were put in this corral. This is the bunch that's going to be saved right here. That's it. And why are you saved? Why are you saved? Because you can throw a rock 400 miles and hit a target? We know we can't do that, can we? We're saved by the gift, the grace, the love of God. All right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This is the only way, because Jesus could throw a rock 400 miles and hit a target. If you wanted to, could he could do that if you wanted to. For all the sin and fallen short of the glory of God, was Jesus God? Was he man? He was glorious God, John the first chapter said. But he was man. There was a perfect love arrangement there between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, where the Son would come and become flesh. Jehovah would become flesh. He would not cease being God, but he would become man too. And man would see the absolute glory and justice of God that walked upon earth. Okay? It says here, he picked us out before the foundation of the earth that we're unspotted. We don't, in eternity, you can throw off 400 miles into the target. You know that? You won't have to work out. You're just going to be able to do it, brother. And that we will be unspotted in love before him. That he marked us all. That he marked us, branded us, corralled us, whatever. My little pig, she weighs about 400 pounds. There she is. Got a couple of ears up here. Like this. Her ears stand up all the time. And she's got marks all in these ears. Her cuts out like this. She was a real fancy pig, you know, hybrid pig. Like this. And then she's got a big hole in one of them like that. These are markings. They're marks. She's marked. She was marked when she was born. That she was born from the mommy and daddy that she had. And she was identified. God identifies us as saved in eternity past because he knows what we're going to do in time and space. You remember when you were lost, brother? Don't you remember when you were lost? You were lost. If you'd have died in that state, you'd have gone to hell forever. You'd have been thaumatose, separated from God forever. And then it says here that he marks us off, brands us, predestinates us, puts in us a corral. And that word, it says, ace, we a thesis. That word ace there in Greek, that's a real unusual word. That idea of this extension of limitation of thought or verbal action. That's a whole lot of saying, okay? Sometimes you put it for. Into, to,
or because of.
All right. He is going, he does this so that we can become heirs. That we'll be some there. That means he places us as heirs, as sons. When God saves you, you become God-like. Your God is put in you. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells in your life. You become a child of God. An heir of God. Like a firstborn son. That's what it's talking about. Wheels. This word wheel, it's like a W there, wheels. That means heir. You become an heir of God. You become His child. A product of His body. All right? That's a gift. A child doesn't do anything to be born into the world, does he? A child does no more to be born into this world than you do have anything to do with keeping your salvation or getting it to begin with. When God calls you, God knew that you, your spirit would yield to His. And you would say, "Forgive me. I have sinned. I deserve death." And you repent. This is all a gift. You call upon God to save you, and He does. And not only does He save you, but He places you as His son or His daughter, as an heir with Him. We live in the church age. The churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, those made up of the true New Testament churches, will reign and rule with Christ as His bride. I'm going to tell you how holy marriage is. Hernando, your wife is part of you. God in the beginning took from man and He took woman and then He put them back together in marriage. He put you together in marriage. And you love your wife and you cherish her as your own flesh. You're supposed to do that. That's a commandment of God. He said, "Didn't do it if you want to. Do it. Do it. Don't forget to do it. Do it." All right, because Jesus does. Now His bride is going to rule and reign with Him. She's not going to be out there so far away to yet take a cannon to shoot peanuts to her. She's going to be right there with Him, sitting on the seat beside Him. That's you if you follow Him in that order. You'll be with Him. Places us as heirs with Him. All right? God wants you to serve Him. Now, let's go to the Gospel of Matthew.
So that was Ephesians 1 and what?
1 and verse 5. Well, we went all the way from verse 1 all the way down to
verse 3.
Verse 5. Ephesians 1, 1 through 5. Matthew 18. Matthew 18. That's the first book in the New Testament. Matthew, the 18th chapter, verse 23. That's on page 30 in my book. Matthew 18, starting with verse 23. Jesus is talking to His disciples and He's talking to them about forgiveness. Adam was saved just like you're saved. Everybody that's ever been saved in any Old Testament time or New Testament time is saved one way only. By grace. By conviction of the Holy Spirit. By the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the On the day of Pentecost, the administration of the Holy Spirit became, and as it indwelled the church and empowered the church to administrate in this age that we live. People were saved the same way in the Old Testament. The administration of the Holy Spirit was different. But they were all indwelt by the Spirit of God in the Old Testament. And now and forever, there's only one way of salvation. Okay? This is how far away from God we are. Okay? We talked that nobody could throw rocks for 400 miles. You're going to see another illustration here just this great. That's trying to throw a rock 400 miles. I don't care whether you're Donald Trump or who you are, you're not going to do this. Verse 23, for this reason, Jesus is talking. He's talking to his disciples about forgiveness. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a certain king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. I'm reading from New American Standard now. Okay? And when he had begun to settle them, there was brought to him one who owed him, I'm going to translate this into modern language, 164,000 years' wages. In other words, at a normal rate of living, which was a denarii at that time, that was a penny in King James, okay? If you got a denarii a day, a penny a day, a day's wages a day, it would take you 164,000 years to pay this debt back. It's pretty rough, my brother. Do you think this guy could have paid this debt? Anybody? 164,000 years' wages. Donald Trump couldn't pay that bill. J. Paul Getty.
Ted Turner.
None of them could pay that debt.
Bill Gates.
Nobody could pay 164,000 years' wages back. This guy, I don't know what he did to get in debt like this, but he did, and then the interest got him. The interest got him. He ended up owing 164,000 years' wages to his master. Now, when you owed a debt back then, not only you owed the debt, but your family owed the debt. Everybody in your family owed that debt until they all exhausted. The only way that debt was ever paid was every one of them to die all at once. And the debt would still be there, but there'd be nobody to incur with the debt. Okay? And when he began to settle down, he brought this man who owed him 164,000 years' wages. But since he did not have the means to repay, well, that's real. That's evident, isn't it? His Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and his children, all that he had, and repayment be made. Now, everything he had would not pay 164,000 years' wages. But his life was to be sold. His children were to be sold, and everything he owned in this world was to be sold and put on this account. Now all his family would be working for the rest of their lives as slaves. And their children would be slaves forever. Does that sound like sin to you? Because of Adam, we all have sinned. Because of the debt that Adam made in the beginning, we are all indebted up to our eyeballs. We are drowning in the debt of Adam. We can't throw that ball, that rock, up 400 miles. Can't happen. Because of Adam's sin, we can't get out of debt. It can't happen. It won't happen. It's impossible, isn't it? It can't happen. Nothing can ever get you out of debt. No good deed you ever did, nothing can get you out of this debt. Adam's debt. You owe for all eternity 164,000 years' wages. Remember the $64,000 question? It used to be a long time ago. That's a $1 million question or something. But 164,000 years' wages. And the slave, therefore, falling down, prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me, I'll repay you everything, you liar. That reminds me of some of these Armenians out there. Hyper-Armenians saying, well, I'm saved by the grace of God, but I'm going to keep myself saved. How foolish. How foolish. How foolish. I'll pay you back.
You remember, as we were talking about the Eastern Gate over in Jerusalem, they say that there's going to be a bar out there, the bar of justice and good deeds, and on this side, there is one feather. If I remember right, a feather. Which means that it's true, what is called the equal maker. I don't care how big you are on this side, you have to weigh, your good deeds have to weigh as much as this feather of pure righteousness does. And you put on this scale, and if you weigh as much as this feather of pure righteousness, and your good deeds weigh as much as that feather of pure righteousness, then you can go into the beatific vision. That is, if you're a follower of Mohammed. Okay. We know that feather of pure righteousness here at this point weighs is 164,000 years of good works and wages. You ever know anybody that lived 164,000 years? There hadn't been that many years around since man was on this earth. It's not going to happen. Have patience with me. I will repay you everything. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion, and he released him and forgave him the debt. Man. He forgave him 164,000 years of debt. That's what you call a forgiving king, wasn't it? A forgiving master. That's the way God is to us. And by the way, that's the way God was to Israel. Israel had heard the gospel of Jesus Christ before anybody else did. They were responsible for this gospel. And telling everybody that they had to throw a rock 400 miles to get to heaven, or else believe in the sacrifice of God. That we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. Alright? We can't throw her off 400 miles. We can't pay back 164,000 years of wages that Adam indebted us to. It's not going to happen. He had compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. Israel was responsible to God to get out the gospel, to get out the news of that good message. Now do you know how good that message is? But the slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 days' wages. 100 days wages. How many days are there in a year? 365, basically. Okay. That's less than a fourth of a year, isn't it? 100 days wages. Now this guy could have worked for this guy 100 days and his debt would be completely paid off, wouldn't it? If he wanted to work him for 125 days, he would be requiring 25% interest on this whole thing. So he could still work 125 days, couldn't he? Could he have paid that off? That could be paid off, couldn't it? That debt was payable. All right? So his fellow slave fell down and began to beg him, saying, have patience with me, I will repay you. Not only will I repay you, it's possible for me to repay you. It could happen, couldn't it? And he was unwilling, however, but went out and threw him into prison until he should pay back everything, every last penny, it says, that he owed him. Every last cent.
Didn't he start choking him?
Yeah. And he choked him, it says here. He seized him and began to choke him. The Roman law says, if a man owes you money and he won't pay you, choke him. Choke him and wreck, twist his neck and take him to court with a twisted neck. With his hair pulled out. That's what the old customs was. Grab him and twist his neck and give him a kink in his neck. Drag him to court with a twisted neck. This guy, he kept on choking him. And telling him, pay me back. Pay me back. And then it says, throw him in prison. Until he pays us back. All right? So when his fellow slaves saw that what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to the landowner all that had happened. Then summoning him, his Lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all the debt because you entreated me. I forgave you a debt that couldn't be repaid. I paid you a debt that couldn't be repaid. You want me to show you how useless and how stupid every cult is in the world? Jehovah's Witnesses, by good works, you get to go to heaven. You think they can work enough to get to heaven? Think they can promise anybody enough to get to heaven? Wicked slaves. Wicked slaves. That promise people something they can't give them. I have mercy on the other slave, your fellow slave. Even as, and you should have had mercy upon him as I had mercy upon you. And his Lord was moved with anger and handed him over to the torturers till he should repay all that was owed. That's a real hard story, isn't it? Adam sold you out. Adam was your father. He sold you into slavery. Sold every one of his descendants into slavery. Every one of them owe a debt that cannot be repaid with all of their lives. You cannot get to heaven trying to pay off Adam's debt. It's not going to happen. 164,000 years' wages. His children can't. That's for each one of them. You can't do it. There's nothing you can do to get to heaven. That debt has to be forgiven. It has to be forgiven. You can't pay it back. It's impossible. I hope, I believe all of you are saved that are here today. I was supposed to give an invitation and all that kind of stuff today. I don't think it's much use, but I'll pray with you. I hope that you're thankful for the salvation that God has given you. I hope that God touches your heart and makes you know how much He forgave you of. And if you work for the rest of your life serving Him, it's not enough to pay the debt that Adam left you, is it? A man can have a real rich mom or daddy and they can leave them a lot of money. And you know what? My wife knows a woman that her father left her all wealth and everything else, and in just a few years she had blown it all. Threw it all away, drank it up and partied it away. In just a few years. A wealth that would last her for the rest of her life. Adam left a debt that we can never repay.
Only God can forgive you of that debt. And that's all. Only God can forgive you of that debt. Father, thank you for your word today. Hide it deep in our hearts. Help us to take this message out to the lost and dying world that are indebted so deep that there's nothing that they can ever do to buy themselves out. It cannot be helped. There's no hope without Jesus Christ. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. But we thank you that the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you for that. Make us thankful in our hearts. As we go out, let us unbegrudgingly serve you, witness for you, tithe, give, in every way that we can to show you how much we love you. Not because we owe you anything, but to show you how grateful we are, because we are not ungrateful servants like this woman was forgiven. We are not ungrateful servants. Help us to be a grateful servant of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.